Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 12th of December, recording at 9:17 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights of the week. And for stock markets, it's been a little bit of a nervous week. Some retracement of the gains that we had seen earlier this month. Nothing significant in the way of deterioration. Now, Europe, interestingly, Asia was mostly down today following the USA's sell-off last night. Europe followed that lead, but Wall Street closed with modest gains in here today. Now, in terms of Treasury bonds, we've seen some reaction in Treasury bond prices here this week. Although it was interesting, the U.S. bonds, which had sold off earlier on, closed up on the day. It sold off quite sharply and then rebounded very strongly. Is that the Fed's quantitative easing? In other words, were they in there buying? Possibly. And in currency terms, that's the big story on the week, the U.S. dollar. It has broken down out of a small top formation on the U.S. dollar index. It rallied a little bit here today against some of the resources currencies, but is slightly lower on the dollar index by 190 points. Now, commodity markets had a generally firmer week on the dollar's weakness, but gave up some of them gave up some of those gains in here today, gave up a little of those gains. Okay, although not corn, which had another good day in here today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, nervous stock markets, you've heard plenty of that before, but then I have to put that in perspective. The period during which stock markets were really hammered, of course, they've been more or less in weakening trends, the majority of them at any rate, since the second and third quarters of 2007. But the most persistent sell-off really occurred from May of this year well into October. Subsequently, we've mostly seen ranging. Some of that ranging is with a slight upward bias, as in China. More of it is with a slight downward bias, and some of it is just dead sideways, as shown by a number of the European indices overall. Now, levels that I have referred to here are the early December lows. It is, for instance, a lot of subscribers, a lot of commentators generally, are very much of the view that we're going to see another down leg in the bear market. Well, no one can rule that out at this stage because we still have overall downward trends. But we have certainly seen steadier action following climactic activity, and we know about the support packages, which we've seen so far, and with more in the pipeline. Of course, the bearish arguments are that this is a real global economic meltdown and asset deleveraging and insolvency crisis, and there's plenty of evidence of that as well. So it is not a time to have strongly bullish views, in my opinion. I sometimes get rapped on the knuckles, it's always amusing, by some subscribers who, when I make modestly bullish comments in here, but I'm, to summarize my own view, I'm pretty cautious overall. For instance, I have not put a penny of my cash reserve back into the stock market yet. I have put a metaphorical toe in from time to time in in little trades, finding mixed success. And more recently, I've been doing that more often with commodity markets, feeling that the dollar was going to weaken, and that they would benefit somewhat. But my overall view is cautious on stock markets, and as I've said before, I'm not going to try to bottom guess here as far as my cash holding is concerned. That, incidentally, for a mention for new subscribers, that's just what I've always described as my just-in-case reserve. It's, for me, it's not an insubstantial position. It's cash that I have held for some time that I did not invest in the last bull run. And I feel that I probably will put at least a chunk of that cash into stock markets at some point or other. But I've also said that I'd really like to see the base formations. And I'd like to see a number of base formations, and some of the other indicators that we watch, I would like to see become more favorable. Overall, if we're looking for comparisons, I'd like to see the base formations that were clearly apparent back in the second quarter of 2003, when I became quite an aggressive buyer. The last time I became quite an aggressive buyer of equities, and after those purchases, then I only added to positions on setbacks in the sectors that I was most interested in. Now, looking at these markets overall, I suspect that we will see some fairly lengthy base formation development. And as I have already said, we do not have any confirmation yet that we've seen the actual lows. When we do have that confirmation, however, I will point out, though, that markets will be well off those actual lows. The sort of things I'm talking about, I want to see lots of stock market indices showing a series of rising lows, however marginally, rising lows over time. What do I mean by time? Over a number of months. And I want to see not only mean reversion relative to the declining 200-day moving averages, best seen on weekly charts, I also want to see stock market indices push above those 200-day moving averages, and those moving averages to turn upwards as well. Now, when that happens, the recovery will certainly be underway. Depending on which indices we're looking at, we could be a significant percentage off the actual lows. Now, markets could easily be 20% off the lows that are seen. But it should be, that should still mark the beginning of quite a persistent phase of share price appreciation. Now, the more bearish of you who are listening to this broadcast will say, well, that's not going to happen anytime soon. Well, fair enough. If it doesn't, I'll hold on to my cash. I have no problem with that overall, and I will just trade around the periphery where I see opportunities from time to time. I need to do that for cash generative purposes, and we'll do so. We'll attempt to do so. I'm not going to burn for the faith in here. I'm basically a cautious investor overall, but I feel that the arguments for equities are now much more evenly balanced. We do have considerably improved valuations, although I think the best valuations by far are in Asia. I feel that the best economic recovery potential is in Asia, and also in some of the markets that supply Asia with the resources that they need. Brazil would be a classic example. Australia would be in time, but the Australian market indices do not begin to show the sort of base formation development that I'm looking for, although they have fallen back in quite a long way. So they merit watching. But I'll let these patterns actually develop before making a serious additional commitment here. But for those who say, I received some emails from people who are absolutely adamant. They'll say, this is a depression. They're usually Americans and or living in America, and they'll say, this is a depression. Well, I'm sure it certainly feels like that, although you didn't live through the last depression. And if you talk to your parents or grandparents or those who did, it was conditions were one heck of a lot worse than they are right now or are likely to be, because we didn't have the bank bailouts and we didn't have the welfare nets and so on. But certainly it is a very, very severe problem, and I personally am very unlikely to be investing in the United States for at least a couple of years. I have described it. I've always prefaced this with comments that sadly I've seen the U.S. as being at the epicenter of global economic risk, and that's still the case today. Now, some of the people who are exceedingly bearish say, well, that's dragging everything else down with it, and there's an element of that. For sure, the U.S. is the world's largest economy, and China, for instance, had made the decision some years ago in that command economy to target exports. That's what developing economies usually do. So China was over-dependent on imports, or exports rather, over-dependent on exports to the USA. That market is shrinking. It's not going to disappear entirely, because China and some of the other major exporters are still very competitive, often more competitive than some of the American manufacturers, or American companies have just pulled out of manufacturing many of the goods that are actually imported. So I accept that argument. My own view, though, is that we're seeing a long-term and certainly permanent in terms of the rest of our lives, gradual shift in power, economic power, from the West to the East, and that we will get the best growth there overall. But again, I'm not going to go rushing into those markets. I'll want to see more evidence in terms of the actual chart action before deciding to do that. Now, when will we see those base formations? Hopefully sometime in 2009, but if it takes longer, so be it. You and I can only deal with the realities of what markets provide. And I don't know what's going to happen out there. And when I get, but I get some contrary indicator signals, that the people who speak most adamantly and aggressively, at least to me, via emails usually, are the people who are extremely bearish. Relative to, let's try to put that in perspective, relative to what I think is my still extremely cautious overall stance regarding these stock markets. Now, I mentioned the improved valuations, but what we need to see a whole host of things happen. We need to see the TED spread come lower. And that's just nudged under 200 basis points. I'd like to see it below 150 basis points. It will get there. I'd really like to see it below 100 basis points. That would be a much more stable environment overall. I would like to see the velocity of money pick up. That would show that the deflationary pressures were behind us. That's not going to happen quickly. I've already mentioned the base formations. I would like to see those in place. I would like to see some positive surprises in terms of corporate earnings. Right now, corporate earnings are a really scary area. And when I look at the economic trends for these economies, the evidence that I see is that the recession is still deepening. I don't see any evidence that any economy is pulling out of this slowdown or recession at this stage. And I've been saying that consistently for a good many months right now, that the economic risks are still to the downside. But what we need to bear in mind, and most subscribers know this, is that stock markets have pretty well always bottomed out ahead of the actual economies. And I would be surprised if that didn't happen again this time. So look for the upward turn in the price charts, not in the economic data, the lagging economic data that gets reported. Now, another thing about base formations, which I've mentioned, so I don't see any evidence. We see some ranging since October, but that's not enough. If any stock market is leading the bottoming out and base building process right now, it is China, as I've mentioned before, but it's early days yet. So again, I'm not rushing in there. And we often get big type 3 bases at the bottom of bear markets, and that means we get a lot of sideways ranging activity. And also bases, those bigger bases will see several tests to the downside. And you might remember that period from 2001 into 2003, where we saw a number of tests to the downside. Now, those patterns can be quite choppy. Sometimes they're more orderly. Following the 87 crash, for instance, Wall Street, where people were exceptionally bearish, had this long-ranging base-building pattern over a number of months, but it was characterized by gradually rising lows. That made it a little bit easier. That showed us that even though the overall basis or overall direction was sideways, that because the lows were rising over time, over a number of months, it did show that demand was coming in at ever so slightly higher levels. It's the process of demand gradually getting the upper hand. We have some evidence of that taking place in China right now, but again, as I've said earlier in this broadcast, it is still early days yet, and this needs to take place over a longer period of time, and it needs to be joined by other stock market. China's lead needs to be joined by other stock market indices as well. So, interesting time. I'm really quite content to watch. Now, we do know that a number of high-profile value investors are nibbling in the markets at this stage. I do feel that that's perfectly justifiable for those who wish to do that. My caveat on this is that I would not pay up. I would only buy on the setbacks. And it's probably a good idea to trade out some of those positions if and when markets rally, because of the likelihood of that ranging activity overall. Now, what else to say in here? The long-dated government bond argument, and the bond bulls have done exceptionally well. The government bond bulls have done exceptionally well here in recent months. Our bonds now, the sole remaining bubble. It's not a bubble of epic proportions, particularly given the overall economic background. But yes, I think in terms of chart action, we do see something of a bubble in that sector. But as I've said repeatedly, sounding like a broken record on this theme, that those long-dated government bond prices are unlikely to come down significantly. In other words, the yields for bunds, for gilts, for Australian 10-year bonds, for U.S. 10-year and 30-year treasuries, they are unlikely to push up significantly until people become more concerned about inflation than they are about recession and deflation. And right now, all the sentiment is dominated by fears of recession and deflation. There are a number of people who say, but look at all these support packages. Surely there will be an inflationary price to pay at the end of the day for all this. Well, yes, quite possibly. Watch the fault lines. One fault line would be a weaker U.S. dollar, which we're beginning to see, but the dollar's got a long way to go before it would be testing its historic lows. If we could sound to test its historic lows, that would certainly be a concern. But the bond action, the bond market action itself, will give the best indication of that change in sentiment overall. And that's not going to happen until the money velocity picks up quite considerably, indicating that the deflation risk is no longer there. And as the global economy moves back into the next synchronized economic recovery, which is out there somewhere in our future, although no one knows exactly when that will be. And it's an event that keeps getting postponed. You know, 6 months ago, most people felt that it would be evident early in 2009. Now most people are saying, well, maybe not until some point in 2010. We'll see. The charts will show us, as I've said on so many other occasions. Now, in terms of commodity markets, if you recall what happened back during the 2001-2002 period, in that industrial resources began to pick up strongly, well ahead of stock markets. And one of the reasons for that was because of all the infrastructure build being led by China. And I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't happen again. Now, cycles don't always repeat, and often, more often than not, do not repeat exactly. But certainly a number of countries have announced big infrastructure spend projects. Whether those actually materialize remains to be seen. And it will depend in part on how severe and long this recession is. But that's a sector that I would be watching, because certainly these metal prices, in both nominal terms and in real terms, are extremely low. I think crude oil price, real by in inflation-adjusted terms, and that applies to the crude oil price as well. So I think these are extremely interesting areas overall. Some of the food prices are much more depressed. Well, they were bubbles at the beginning of the year, and they have fallen back very, very substantially. So I do maintain that commodities will be one of the better performers over the medium to longer term. That's what I expect at any rate. But again, I want to see the chart basis. I see a lot of overextended charts on the downside. We get some technical rallies. but we do not yet have the base formations, and that will they will take time to develop overall. Last but not least, so I don't make this broadcast too long, what about the precious metal sector? Well, its performance has been pretty good, particularly for gold, and Hybita gold, silver has not done at all badly. The technical patterns are, well, a bit mixed, but gradually improving. Platinum is intriguing in that it's just sort of flatlining here at a little mostly above the $800 level. I think there's major recovery potential in this sector. Many investors regard the precious metals as hard money. I'm among them. And we've also seen a quite good rebound in the share prices for a number of these precious metal producers. And I think that's an interesting area overall. In a fiat currency world, they will hold our interest. I don't regard any of the precious metals as a buy and hold. You've seen the way, well, veteran subscribers have seen the way I've traded them over the years. I regard them, as I say, as hard money, but of a variable and quite volatile at times price action overall. So they need to be traded on an intermediate to longer term basis. And the strategy that Owen and I have consistently advocated in the precious metal sector is buy them on the setbacks, don't chase prices higher. When we see the upward accelerations, and we're nowhere near that right now, but we did see an upward acceleration earlier in the year, that's the time when one wants to use tight trailing stops, and when one gets out, stay out. Waiting for a big pullback, which we did subsequently see. I think we're in the early stages of getting the next build-up for another move on the upside. But that build-up in terms of support building process is likely to take a while longer still, subject to how quickly the U.S. dollar ranges lower. But the point is, I think precious metals deserve a position in our portfolio, and I aim to remain represented in that sector. And I think that's pretty much a wrap here for this week. So I'll just say all the best to all of you and have a terrific and hopefully very well, if you have a terrific weekend, it will be a relaxing weekend. Enjoy. All the best.